Ed Meese is a regular guest. He served for more than 3 years as U.S. Attorney General during the Reagan administration. He holds the Ronald Reagan Chair in Public Policy for the Heritage Foundation, and he serves as Distinguished Visiting Fellow for the Hoover Institute. Ed, welcome back to Issues Etc.
Thank you. It's good to be back with you and your listeners.
Does today's ruling in Washington halt or have any effect on the numerous lawsuits that are pending against the so-called HHS mandate?
I don't think it necessarily does. Obviously, if today the Supreme Court had done what I believe they should have done, which was to hold the whole act, the Obamacare so-called Affordable Health Care Act, unconstitutional, then we wouldn't have to worry. But unfortunately, they did not. And so I think what is necessary now is to proceed with the lawsuits that are pending, but also for Congress to take an act. They have a responsibility equal to that of the Supreme Court, obviously, in upholding the Constitution. And the way they can do that is to repeal the Obamacare Act.
Some are also concerned that the upholding of the Affordable Health Care Act is going to be a means of backdooring taxpayer funding for abortion. What are your thoughts there?
Well, I think that's generally what is true of the act itself, because certainly, as so much power is given to the Secretary of Health and Human Services, you can have more of these edicts, such as we recently had in terms of contraception and sterilization and abortion.
Does today's ruling give you any indication of where the justices might side on those pending HHS lawsuits?
Well, I don't think it does, because the key to the edict, the lawsuits regarding this edict of the secretary, I think really turn around the whole issue of religious liberty. And as those cases are decided, that should be the basis. And I don't. While a positive decision in this case, in terms of overruling the law, could have perhaps ended the lawsuits, the current state of the law that we're in, I think the lawsuits will continue.
How do you account for how the court ruled today?
It's very hard to understand it, particularly when they held that the law is and the individual mandate and the penalty for not getting health insurance is a tax for one part of the law, or one part of the court's consideration, rather, of the law, and it's not a tax for another part of the court's consideration of whether there's whether it violates the Anti-Injunction Act. So it was a very curious ruling, and one that is probably one of the most important issues that has been before the court in a long time. And in terms of really deciding the issue, getting us back towards the Constitution, I think they blew it on this one.
Do you agree that it stands with, I mean, they were saying this morning it stands with the Supreme Court's decision in the Bush-Gore case?
Well, it could have, I think. But I think by their failure to enforce seriously the Constitution and to really give us a holding that would create what I would call a jurisprudence of interpretation that leads us back to the founders' concept of the Constitution, I think by failing to do that, they've lost that opportunity.
You mentioned that the Congress needs to act now to do something about the Affordable Health Care Act. How does that work?
Well, what the main thing that they ought to do is just repeal the entire statute and start over. There's a lot of things that can be done to improve our health care system. There are things like allowing people to buy insurance as private individuals and get the same benefits that businesses do in terms of the tax structure. There are things that other things that can be done along the same lines. But what we ought to do is, first of all, go back to the drawing board. Remember, this was jammed through, and not one member of Congress in either house read the whole bill. Nor were their hearings held as there normally is, particularly in such far-reaching legislation such as this. So I think we need to go back, repeal the bill, identify what really are the problems that need to be solved, and then in a common-sense, regular procedure with hearings and the kind of fact-finding that is necessary for any kind of good legislation, Congress go through and solve the problems rather than simply enacting a bill which essentially turns the entire healthcare industry over to the federal government.
It's being reported in the press that a speech you gave back in 1985 was an inspiration to Chief Justice, then attorney, but now Chief Justice Roberts. And, of course, he sided with the majority in the court on this opinion. What are your thoughts there, Ed?
Well, as I say, I think it was a surprise. I don't really understand what his reasoning is that enabled him or moved him to do this. He's a very respected justice. I have a high regard for him. He's a very honest and certainly a very thorough lawyer in his approach to jurisprudence. So I really can't explain or understand where he came from with this rather unusual ruling.
Can the proponents of the HHS mandate that we mentioned a few minutes ago, can they at this point say, well, looky here, the Supreme Court has upheld the act in effect, so any objection to Kathleen Sebelius's mandate is really moot? Can they do that legitimately?
No, not at all. As a matter of fact, the court did not hold, no part of the court's holding today should affect the deliberations on the Secretary of HHS's ruling on the edict that all firms, all businesses, and everybody provide this health care that includes contraception and these other things related to it. So these were not at all at issue, and these are totally separate. And the idea that that a separate part of the law was upheld today, which should have no effect on these decisions.
The way I heard it, and I come at it from a complete layperson's standpoint when it comes to the legal matters here, but it sounded like the court said, well, the government was wrong to argue that it was constitutional based upon commerce, but if you want to argue on the basis of the Congress's power to tax, they can argue that, and therefore it's constitutional. It sounds like they almost made the argument for the government's case here.
Well, in a sense, they did, and the government had a tough time because the government lawyers, I suspect, realized the only possibility to get this before the court was by calling it a tax. Yet the Obama administration had claimed vociferously throughout the legislative aspects of it that it was not a tax. And then another part of the law, the Anti-Injunction Act, says if it's a tax matter, there is no standing to sue. And in that regard, so the court had to have it both ways. I mean, rather the lawyers had to have it both ways. And I think the judges tried to have it both ways. Those that voted for upholding the mandate under these circumstances. So it was a very confusing and confused opinion.
Given what was decided today, and especially who ended up where on either side of the decision, how do you read the court now, Ed?
Well, I think this was a case that was very difficult. It was a case in which the judges faced a lot of different aspects of it, and so I don't think that this case stands for much of anything, except it does have one very important part of it, and that is the court did rule, and this was pretty clear, that the Commerce Clause could not be used as a catch-all for Congress to do anything they wanted to without any limitations on their power.
Would you read that as a bit of a silver lining?
I say it's a silver lining in a rather dark cloud.
Was today's Supreme Court ruling a setback for social conservatives?
I would say that today's ruling was a setback only in the sense that it has changed the venue in which the upholding of the Constitution has to take place. The court refused to do what is necessary, I think, to uphold the Constitution in regard to health care. It now falls to the Congress, in a sense, to restore the constitutional limitations that essentially are there on the power of government.
It certainly can be done. Do you think it will be done?
I hope it will. It may not be done this year. It may not be done with the present people in the White House or with the present leadership in the Senate. I think there's no question it'll be done in the House. The problem will arise in the other House and in the White House. But I think, obviously, there's an opportunity, depending on how things come out in November, for it to be done next year.
Ed Meese is the 75th Attorney General of the United States under the Reagan administration, distinguished fellow in public policy and chairman of the Center for Legal and Judicial Studies for the Heritage Foundation based in Washington, D.C. You'll find a link to the Heritage Foundation at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand. Ed, thank you very much for your time.
Thank you. Good to be with you.